So we are starting this week the last sermon series in our Year of the Lord. We have been doing different sermon series that are connected to what it means that the Lord is our God, that Jesus is our Lord. We started the year with the fear of the Lord. We went into questions and responses with the Lord. We talked about the Lord of the Sabbath and the Lord's prayers and servants and the Lord and the Lord of the harvest and the word of the Lord and the Lord of the nations. And now we're going to end with the Lord's servant. So the servants in the Lord series was about parables that Jesus was talking about being a servant and his kingdom. This, we're focusing on Mary, Jesus' mother, and her example, and then other examples of people who are connected to her in being the Lord's servant. And so I think we'll start by looking at one verse that Aubrey just read. We're talking about the angel Gabriel, who is an angel that can stand in the Lord's presence. And that's a pretty big deal, because when we see into heaven around the throne room of God, everyone always bows. Everyone always falls on their faces in the Lord's presence, whether that's angels, living creatures, the elders, people of every tribe and tongue, they all bow before the throne. But Gabriel says he stands in the presence of God. So he has an incredible access and authority to God. And he comes to an obscure town to a maiden, a teenage maiden, and has a message for her. Verse 28, the angel went to her, to Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And I want to go slow motion on this verse, because I think there are some key words. These are ideas that are themes in the Bible, and they're key words to understanding the rest of this passage. So the first is that she says greetings. We don't usually say greetings. This can be translated like hail. It can also be translated rejoice. And that's the one I want to lean into, rejoice. And I'll explain why in a second. The second word that I want to talk about is actually one word in the Greek, highly favored. She is highly favored. She is full of grace. So if you were hearing this and you understood Greek and you're hearing this in the Greek language, you would know that the word greetings, the root in that is kara. It's from joy. Greetings, joy, rejoice. And then grace, that word is rooted in charis. So it's like if we hear words that rhyme or words that start with the same letter, I mean, these words sound really close together because they have the same root word in Greek. And so joy and grace, being favored and rejoicing, these two things go together. So when the angel shows up, this is the angel that stands in the presence of God, and he shows up to this girl and he says, "Rejoice, rejoice, you are full of grace. Grace is filling you up. The Lord is with you." That is the greeting that starts. And I wanted to slow-mo that because we are going to look at Mary as the Lord's servant. But what we need to realize in her being the Lord's servant is that it starts with God's grace. Being the Lord's servant starts with God's grace. Now, I want to look at what Aubrey just read, some of the verses that she just read, and just I'll read it through, and then we will kind of pick out how much of this grace, what are different ways that grace is flowing, is filling her up. So, starting with verse 30, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' She asks a question, and he goes on to answer. The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.'" So the angel shows up. He says, "Rejoice, full of grace. You are filled with grace. The Lord is with you." And then he goes on to say all these things. So Mary's supposed to rejoice. I just want to go through a list. Mary is supposed to rejoice. Why? She has found favor. She has been blessed. She is full of grace. She is being filled with grace. So that's a reason to rejoice. The Lord is with her. She doesn't need to be afraid. That's a reason to rejoice. God is going to conceive and birth greatness in her, something divine in her, something that establishes God's kingdom through her, coming through her on the earth, in her time, among her people. God's going to do that. It's going to start in her, and this is going to last forever because the one she's going to birth is the one, the Son of God. It's going to start in her, though. She's part of it all. Then the Holy Spirit will rest on her. The power of the Most High will overshadow her. I want to stop on this one for just a little bit. I wish we had more information. What was that like? Did she know it? Did she experience it? Did she see light coming on? Did she feel something happening in her body? What is it? So we have many reports over time of people experiencing God's presence, God's touch, the movement of the Spirit among us. I'm thinking of a couple different people, and I might be mixing their stories together, but one person who in the last month during worship said they felt heat, they were sweating. Every time they went to sing, they started crying. And they were about to start cancer treatment that week. So they have that going on. They came and talked to me later. They say, "What was that? I think that's from God. It was very strange. What is that?" They said that day, they were praying all the time. So I'm a person who prays, but I don't pray all the time. But I just prayed all the time. They were talking about, how do I get a Bible? How do I get into the Bible more? All of this happening, well, that is a sense of the Holy Spirit resting on you and tangibly being made known. We, the last summer in June, we covered a whole week in prayer, even through the night, 24 hours a day for 7 days, where people were praying in our prayer room. And we had people sign up for 1 hour, and then you stayed until the next person showed up, and then they took the next hour. And we had people who hadn't been prayed in the prayer room and who thought, "I don't know what I'm going to do there in an hour." And we asked for feedback afterwards, and one of the most common comments we got back was, "Fastest hour of my life," which usually was, you know, preceded with, I didn't expect that. They're expecting, like, "What am I going to do?" Fastest hour of my life. And what we had was reports of people saying, like, "There was something that I saw. There was a way that God communicated me. There was peace that came over me." There was these ways in which they could sense the tangible presence of God. And I bring that up because even in the last month, Camille got reports of things that happened way back then that have significance that's carrying on through now. And even in the last month, we have people who have prayed in their last month and who had what can only be described as supernatural encounters in that room. So there's a way in which I'm thinking, like, was it something like one of those things that we've experienced, that Mary experienced? Or did she feel nothing? Because sometimes God does some of his most significant work and we feel nothing. It doesn't seem like anything is happening. Did she just have a message from heaven, an encounter from heaven, so there was something supernatural, but when the Holy Spirit came upon her, when Jesus came into her, when the baby came into her, she didn't know. We don't know. But God does work in both ways. He works in ways when the Holy Spirit's moving, we can tell, we can feel it, we can experience it, and sometimes he is doing some of his best work, and we can't feel a thing. He does it both ways. I don't know what it was like for her. One other reason for Mary to rejoice: God's word for her will not fail. Nothing is too hard from God. So, to start, being the Lord's servant for Mary started with all kinds of things God was going to do for her. He was going to flood her with grace, give her grace upon grace. He was with her. There is promises out before her, and he was going to carry it through. It is all starting with God. You know, in her time, there's all kinds of slaves of all kinds of variations. And some live a really, you know, good life. Not the high percentage of them, but But they were like in charge of households or things like that. It was kind of like a job. But they were still slaves. And this word could still be translated slave too, bondservant. So Mary, when she says, I'm the Lord's servant, I'm the Lord's bondservant, I'm the Lord's slave, most of the time at that time, what a slave would mean, what a bondservant would mean, is you got sold into it, or you got captured. It was really bad news to be somebody's bondservant. But that's not how it is with God. When you become God's bondservant, the response is rejoice, because what it means is good upon good upon good upon good coming to you. This is going to be good. What God wants to do on the earth, you can be part of it. That's where it starts. It starts with God, and God's in it to the end. But there also is another aspect, and that is being the Lord's servant includes Mary's response. So God comes with good news, he comes with promises, he comes with grace, and he comes with it specifically for her. How does she respond? Well, let's look at the three specific responses she gives. Verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was greatly troubled, but she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She actually pondered. She had a dialogue with herself. What we'll see about Mary multiple times to come is that she has a deep interior life. She engages inwardly with God's word to her. And she thinks about it and she considers it. And reading the next verse, verse 34, so she doesn't speak right away. Instead, greetings, rejoice, you're full of grace, the Lord is with you, that comes to her, and she's like, whoa, what is this? But she thinks about it. She takes it in. She has a dialogue with herself about it. She engages with God's word to her. And then after he shares more, she asks, how can this happen? How's that going to happen? Now, one of the devices used by biblical writers at the time is they will, and this is true in the Old Testament too, is they will put two stories side by side. Or they'll use, even if they're not side by side, they'll use some of the same language in what happened in one story and put it next to another story. And so then we're supposed to compare the two because there's all these similarities, but there's some things that aren't quite the same. And the story that goes right before this is the story of Zechariah, the old man, Elizabeth's husband, who Gabriel comes and talks to him in the temple, in the most holies. And so what you'll see is all kinds of the same thing. You know, it's Gabriel, for one thing. He's coming with a message from heaven. It has to do with a baby. It's going to be joy. There's going to be favor. These things are mentioned, but the responses are contrast. So you've got an old man who's a religious person, who's a righteous person, a good person, steeped in the Bible, in the religious place. And his response is, how can I know this for sure? I'm really old, basically. I don't think this is going to happen. Mary's response, who is a maiden in the middle of nowhere, who has no religious pedigree in terms of position, she takes the word and she ponders it in her heart. She engages with it. And then her question is, I don't believe it. It's just like, I don't know how. She responds the better way. So, here's what we have. Oh, one more, and the most important. Missed this. Verse 38. This is what the whole series is based on. We're going to skip it. No, just kidding. All right, here we go. It says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. May your word to me be fulfilled. May it be to me according to your word. May what you say happen. I'm willing. I will do it. I will do my part. The Lord's servant has her response. The Lord's servant, being the Lord's servant, has her response involved. And so Mary is the Lord's servant. And in Protestant churches, we can be careful. We're very careful about honoring Mary, because particularly more in historic times, but you know, to some degrees, in the Roman Catholic Church, Mary is elevated, and at times she had been elevated to almost divine status, where people pray to Mary. There's, you know, times way back when it was like, Jesus is a scary figure, we aren't sure we can relate to Jesus, but Mary, she is so compassionate, so we'll talk to Mary, and Mary can talk to Jesus. I mean, that's literally how people thought. And so the response has been from Protestants like, well, let's just keep Mary real contained. We don't want ever to think that Mary's divine or anything like that. But what we don't do is then honor her. And she should be honored and she should be revered, because she had the kind of heart that said, I will trust you. I will trust you, whatever you want. And the Lord did trust her with his son. And even though he was fully God, he was raised like a human being. He had to grow in stature, the Bible says. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in things. He had to grow up and be raised, and he got raised by a woman who knew how to pray, may it be to me according to your word. Whatever you say, I will do. So that when Jesus faced his toughest test in life, he would say, not my will. He would pray, not my will, but yours be done. He learned to pray that way because that's the same prayer as, may your word to me be fulfilled. Whatever you say, not what I want, but what you want. I am the Lord's servant. So Mary is the Lord's servant, but she's not the only servant in this story. We also have Gabriel. Gabriel comes from heaven with good news. Now, the angels, the Bible seems to imply that at one point the angels had a choice. You're going to align with God or go off, because Lucifer, the angel of light, the morning star, the like a top-level angel, decided they wanted to go up higher out of pride, and so then that led to that angel being Lucifer, the devil, Satan, like falling away and taking a third of the angels with them. And so Gabriel is full of the presence, around the presence of God, comes sending message, but he also is one that responds to God. So he was sent from God with good news and a message. It's both. There is good news, there is favor, there is blessing in angels in Gabriel's assignment, and he's doing it with God, with God's favor, in response to God. Now, the question is, are you the Lord's servant? If being the Lord's servant starts with God's grace, with God saying to you, rejoice, you are full of grace. I'm going to fill you with grace. I want to be with you. That's where it starts. Have you said yes to that? First to the grace, and then to his word for you. Here are some questions to think about. What if God has favor for you? What if he has an abundance of grace for you, specifically for you? What if God has a word for you? Maybe an encouragement, maybe a promise, maybe an assignment. But what if he has a word specifically for you, a message for you? What if God wants to birth something through you? Birth something significant, birth something that's part of his kingdom, birth something that's part of changing the earth, of bringing heaven to here. Now in this time, what if he wants to do something in you and through you that's significant? And it may not look significant initially. The reality is, this didn't look significant to very many people. Mary's pregnant. She had a baby. She was in obscurity. Didn't change how Rome was doing their government or their armies or anything. Didn't even change how Jerusalem was doing their government's army. It just starts with, then the angel left her and she's alone. There's the start. She has said yes. She didn't see anything right away. I guess she saw one thing, you know, start to happen. But It wasn't like trumpets and fanfare and everyone else noticing. All kinds of people coming to the Lord the first year of his birth. It wasn't like that. But it was significant. And she said yes to the little thing. She said yes to the big thing, the little thing. And she let God decide when it was little and when it became a big thing. And what if God wants to do that through you? So here's why I think we can connect those two things. Because even though, like, obviously Mary is unique, like, we aren't going to have the Son of God in us, so to speak, there is a way in which Mary was getting her assignment, her lane, from something that was available to the people. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 and on, it says, "Rejoice, daughter of Zion, be glad and rejoice, the Lord, the King, is with you." Same kind of language, but now daughter of Zion is like the people. Daughter of Zion is God's people, the people of Israel. Rejoice, my people. Rejoice, my people, and be glad, even though it's been bad, and you've been pushed away, and you're in exile. Rejoice, rejoice, and be glad. Why? Because I am with you, or some translations, I am in your midst. Now, Hebrew words are unique, because Hebrew words can have, they have double meanings a lot of time. So I think it's rage or anger. One of the anger words, it's also the same word you'd use for flaring nostrils. It's like, well, when you get mad, I don't know. I don't really know if I do that. I mean, cartoons smoke or something. Anyway, somehow that's a combination. They combine those things. The in your midst is also the word for in your womb. In your womb. And so they would have that language. So when the angel comes and says, "Greetings, rejoice, you're full of grace, you're highly favored, the Lord is with you," it is this daughter of Zion, "Rejoice and be glad, the Lord, the King, is with you." Literally, something is going to be happening there. So a promise that was for God's people gets personalized for Mary. Hang with me. But the word "highly favored," the Greek word "highly favored," is only used two times in the Bible, that particular word. Here, when the angel says it to Mary, and in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where he's talking about the promises to God's people who are in Christ, and it says, "His glorious grace which he has freely given us." That "freely given us" is the same word. And it is grace, which is a noun, made into a verb, and then intensified. And Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message Paraphrase Bible, says that there's just no good English word for that. There's no good way to do it. He says that people tried bestowed, like it's trying to make it like it's a bigger word. It's you've been graced, exclamation point. But he said he prefers the word "drenched," like drenched with grace. You've been drenched, you've been graced with grace. It's like grace upon grace. You're flooded with grace. God's grace is pouring into you. You're graced. You're flooded with grace. That's what it is. This glorious grace is flooding into you. So that passage is for who? Just for Mary? No, it's for everyone who says to Jesus, yes, because there's good news. Jesus has come. He is here. He is available by his Spirit. And he says, "I want to be with you. And I want to grace you with grace." It's good news. Rejoice. You can be graced. You can be drenched with grace. It is available to all of you, and it will come in personal ways to each of you. But we have to figure out how we will respond then. But one of the first responses is just to realize, like, it's real. The promises are real. The grace and the goodness is real. So, here are my final questions to ponder with the "Are you the Lord's servant? Remembering that as we're trying to line up with how was it that Mary's the Lord's servant, it starts with God, That's available. And then moves to our response. So are you ready to receive the Lord's word of grace for you? What if God has a word of grace, a gift of grace, an impartation of grace for you? A blessing, his favor, a promise. And if so, would you ponder that and stick with it? And maybe it's something that you've had in your head. Maybe it's something that will emerge in this month. But when you get it, will you keep it? Will you write it down? Will you keep it with you? This message, this something, because I think he might send messages. This morning, maybe. Maybe he has already. Maybe he will this month. But to be attentive to it. And one of the things I would encourage you to consider this month, Advent, the season when we're preparing to celebrate Christmas the right way, is to sign up in the prayer room. Some of you may have never done that before. You go to a website, or you can call in the office, or email, whatever, but spend a half hour, even if you're a person like, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. The stations are there, things might shift over the next week to help us prepare. But would you spend some time there, or would you come? There's three more upper room nights this year, Wednesday nights, start at 6:30, go to 8:15 or 8:30. You can come and go when you want. But as a way to make space, the thing about Mary is that even though it's kind of interesting that we don't know where she was. Probably not in a synagogue or religious space. But maybe it's intentional that we don't know where she was, because God can show up anywhere. But Mary, one thing that would be true of Mary, what seems to be true from her life based on how Jesus operated, is she would have said her prayers daily. She would have went to synagogue, heard God's word weekly. She went to the temple, the extra things, extra time set apart, lifestyle of worship in Jerusalem, lifestyle of worship and celebration around who God is and his promises. And so she would have that in her. But she pondered that. She was a ponderer. She was one who would take time and pay attention. And so when the angel showed up, she was ready for it. So maybe we won't get our word right away. Maybe our word will come when we're out on a walk, when we're on a drive, when we're sitting on the pot. God comes in all kinds of places to speak to us. But we have created a rhythm in our life? Will we have created some space in our life that says, I'm available for your word? I'm not just doing this or going fast. I'm going to set some time aside to take your word in. And speaking of taking your word in, some people have ways of doing that. But if not, especially in holidays where you might be traveling and it's harder to get in a rhythm, I still would recommend Lectio 365. Or 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes in the morning. You can either read it or you can have it read to you. Someone guides you through a couple passages and a way to pray, and they're going to be focusing on Luke this month, just like we're going to be focusing on Luke and the stories around Jesus most of the month. So consider that. And then lastly, are you willing to have his word be fulfilled through you? What if God wants to do something in you that then will go through you to make a significant impact? But his question just is, are you willing? Are you willing to take my personal assignment for you, even if it's little, even if it's hard? But if I give you instruction, are you willing to partner with me to do good on the earth? Again, even if it's super small, but if it's from him, he can do something really great with it. Have the worship team come up. And before we do our closing song, we have space now. We have some fidgeters in there now. I fit in well with fidgety little ones. So, well, you know what? God doesn't come only when it's serene and perfect. I know we sing Silent Night. It's a nice song. Kind of doubt it. I mean, we should be singing. I guess there's words in there, but let's get some cow noises, some pig noise. Not pigs, Jewish. I don't know if they had pigs. Anyway, I'm really distracting myself. This is not in my script. My point is, God could decide to talk to us anywhere, even amidst our distraction, including right now, if we keep saying we're available and we'll make space for him. So we're going to do that for a few moments before we close in this song. So let's pray. God, we praise you. You are the Lord of the angel armies, those mighty ones who do your bidding, who praise you continually. Lord, thank you that there are angels in this room right now. Thank you that there are angels that bring or allow your messages to come to us, that protect us from evil and distraction, that even our agents of healing. Thank you that we don't need to worry about interacting with angels, that we can just come to you boldly to your throne of grace and have confidence in doing that because of Jesus, and that Jesus is the one who will assign the angels even now. But we do say, we do take authority that we have in Christ to say that for now, light is in this place, your light. And anything that would come into our minds would have to pass through that light first, in the name of Jesus. And we acknowledge that one of the biggest barriers to grace that we might have is just not feeling worthy. Feeling like we have blown it too many times to be your servant, to be highly favored. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to take care of that unworthiness. That the good news you brought is that there is grace upon grace, despite what we have done or not done. So would you flood us with that grace? Would you flood us with grace for those of us who are still in grief, for those of us who are lonely, for those of us who have been or feel rejected? God, if it's real, if your grace is real, then would you send it into this place? Send it to us. We need it. We ask for it. Drench us with your grace. Drench us with your grace and your goodness. More grace, God. We need your grace. Is there a word or a message you want to remind us of that's from you? Or maybe one you want to bring that's fresh in these moments? We're listening for you best we can. And to whatever degree, God, that you want to birth something new in us, that you want something new to be conceived in us that's from you, that's in us, that you want to bring forth through us, we are your servants. Or you can respond personally, whether you're willing or not. What do you want to do? If there are new things, if you want to do new things in individuals or in us as a church, we just would welcome that. We want to be your servants. May your word to us be fulfilled. Something new, something new. You must have been waiting a long time. Something new, full of grace. Drench us with grace. Something new. Do something new, God. If there's something from heaven that you want to do that's new, we say, we are your servants. Even if we can't see it right away, would you do something new? Would you start something now in us that would be birthed and would have a significant impact? Do something new. God, as we close with this last song, would your Spirit help us? There be a relational exchange of us worshiping you, of us expressing our willingness to give our life to you, but also of you continuing to flood us with your grace, making your presence known to us. May you meet us in a personal way, even as we're together to worship you, would you meet us in personal ways? In these moments, in this day, in the days to come, in Jesus' name, amen.